Good afternoon. Welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vostis Boyd here with you every Wednesday from noon to one. Thank you for making us a priority this morning, or this afternoon. As always, we have some great people standing by to be on air to talk about the terrific stuff that's happening in the community and the arts community and how it will affect you. Today, we have a host of folks here, live in the studio audience. We've got Lisa Cordes, Don Simon, Ruben Alonzo, and Davin Gordon. And also a special treat, wonderful student from University of Texas, Estrella Gonzalez, is here. She's finding all about this crazy little community radio station here, KKFI. And so, with that, let me get started. I'm going to introduce Lisa Cordes. She is the Artist Inc. Professional Development Program Director. She's been a member of the Kansas City arts community for more than 25 years, working as an artist, administrator, and educator. And for the past decade, she's served in administrative leadership positions at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts, Mid-America Arts Alliance, Kansas City Friends of Alvin Ailey, and Heart of America Shakespeare Festival. In 2010, she was a recipient of the Charlotte Street Rocket Grant and an Arts KC Inspiration Grant for the development and performance of her play, Prop 8 on Trial, and was a resident artist at the Fish Tank Performance Studio. As a playwright, her work has been produced by theaters across the country, and locally she has produced many of her own plays and written several plays commissioned by the Coterie Theater, including scripts for the award-winning dramatic AIDS education program that has now served over 100,000 young people. Cordes has also served on panels for the National Endowment for the Arts, the Missouri Arts Council, and the Charlotte Street Foundation, and has consulted and written for the President's Committee on the Arts. Now, currently, she considers herself a freelance theater artist, writer, and recovering arts executive. Welcome, my friend.
Okay, well, I'm still a little bit of an arts executive.
But you know what? You've got a terrific lineup of work that you've done in the community in the arts. So very, very happy to have you a part of our Kansas City Crazy community.
It's a wonderful community, and I'm happy to talk to you because, Maria, you're an artisting fellow.
Yeah. You know, we were the second class.
You were in the second class.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And so for our audience, our listeners that have tuned in, tell them about Arts Inc. What is that? What is Arts Inc. about?
Well, Arts Inc. was developed in 2009 in response to a needs assessment here in town of what artists needed. And they needed professional development. They needed to be better at running the business of having an arts career, sustaining their studio practice, and running arts businesses. So it was developed originally in conjunction with UMKC Innovation Center, Arts KC, and Charlotte Street Foundation. Now we work in partnership with UMKC Innovation Center and Mid-America Arts Alliance because what was good for Kansas City turns out to be good for a lot of communities in the region.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in now running Artist Inc. programs in Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Austin, Texas, Omaha, Lawrence, and we just got back yesterday from Northwest Arkansas, where we'll have an Artist Inc. next spring in Springdale for the Bentonville, Fayetteville, Springdale artists, that triangle of the world that suddenly exploded artistically around the opening of the Crystal Bridges Museum. And we're slated to go into Houston next year as well.
Wow.
So we will have almost as many regional artists have gone through the program as we do have Kansas City artists, which at this point in time is about 350. And the core program is the 8-week seminar with the 25 artists participating at a time, facilitated by local artists, peer facilitators who model all the great behaviors we like to see in successful artists.
Well, you know, the program is for artists of all disciplines, visual artists, musicians, filmmakers, dancers, performers,
that's right,
writers. They all come together for this intensive work on the components of a viable and sustainable arts practice. Now, I do want to tell listeners that applications are opening soon for the September 12th, November 7th session, right?
That's right. And they are open until 5 o'clock on Monday. It's not a long application process, but you should be thoughtful about it. We want to know why you feel like you need Artist Inc., what you've done, your bio, your artist statement, and then where you see your career going in the next 5 years and why you feel Artist Inc. might be beneficial, and then some samples of your work. Mm-hmm. So it's a peer panel that reviews it, and they look at your work. But we also look at where you're at, and then we also look at the cohort as a whole. Because like you said, we believe in mixing the disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
We think for too long, artists have been siloed according to discipline, and so they don't learn from each other. And it also spawns amazing collaborations that tend to come out of artists.
I've seen that happen. I've seen that take place over the years. Yeah. And, you know, most of the guests that have been on the show, Art Speak Radio, have been, you know, members of Artist Inc.
Right.
So it's a really strong community of people working together and
well, when the program started, it really was very specifically about teaching business skills to artists,
yeah,
and helping them develop professionally. What we didn't realize was the community building function that it would,
mm-hmm,
important role that it, mm-hmm, played, because it was the only program that was regularly convening artists in the community across discipline and really going to the heart of their deepest desires as well as fears and needs, and creating a really a great bond. And we've seen it also happen across other communities,
mm-hmm,
so we know it wasn't just Kansas City, but Kansas City is the has had the longest running, so we've had over 350 artists in this community go through the program, and we like to think it's made a real difference in the community.
Yeah, I'm sure it has. You know, I want to also mention that with Artist Inc., you know, it gives you that business sense that perhaps was maybe missing in your education at art school. I know personally for me, I didn't get that sort of education,
right,
the business of art, you know, attending, you know, college. So, you know, you kind of learn by hit and miss, trial and error, and
right,
who you know and who can help you. But this is really just a terrific, intense session that happens, that takes place.
Well, and it's true because art schools, because their mission is to teach you to be an artist.
Sure.
And they also don't have a lot of people within those institutions that are actually out living the way the majority of artists live.
Mm-hmm.
They're in an academic institution. So it's part of why not just our program, but a number of programs proliferated over the country in the last 10 years. And thanks to some really visionary funders like the National Tremaine Foundation and Ford and Rockefeller Foundation that were part of LINC, and a number of others, the Cerdna Foundation, national funders that said, you know, especially since the culture wars and funding, mm-hmm, artists directly became something that everyone was scared of, not,
yeah,
just the,
yeah,
federal government,
right,
but state governments as well as private funders. And the idea that artists needed to be helped to be more self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And in truth, I always say the purpose of my program is to make sure there's more and better art, because if artists don't receive this kind of training, they often quit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem that's invisible, because as I used to tell art students when I taught, after you leave here, no one's going to ever care if you paint again.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm,
when people quit, we don't know it. We don't measure it. But obviously, those of us in this business feel like it's a huge loss when an artist gives up, mm-hmm, and is no longer able to pursue.
If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Lisa Cordes, the Artist Inc. Professional Development Program Director. I'm talking about Artist Inc., the workshops that are available. Well, the next session is September 12th through November 7th. The applications are due Monday, June 27th at 5 p.m. Now, these take place at 4747 Troost Avenue. And, you know, you'll just meet so many more people that are in different disciplines and sort of working towards learning to really make a living as an artist, and collaborations. And just, it's a great program. It really
is. One of the core tenets of the program is setting goals,
mm-hmm,
and as simple as that sounds, it's something that artists don't often do, and don't, so they have kind of unintentional careers,
mm-hmm,
and they tended to be just buffeted around by whatever the waves,
yeah,
that come,
yeah,
along, and I found that to be true of myself,
mm-hmm,
and so just that alone, and then having peers that you're accountable for on a weekly,
mm-hmm,
basis, and it really focuses the mind. And then we find that those networks developed in Artist Inc. continue on for years outside of the program, and that artists go out and share what they've learned to artists who even haven't gone through the program. So,
sure,
we actually measure that.
Mm-hmm.
We also measure artist apply for and receive more grants after they go through the program. They have actual budgets for their art practice. And like I said, they have goals and they have a direction, a strategic direction they're headed, and a sense of all the things that they need to do, even if they don't get there immediately. We actually see the benefits of the program accrue over time. So people are making progress the first year out, but they're really making progress 2 years out. And we're a data-driven, research-based program, so we really follow and track people over up to a five-year period of time. And everything gets better. Home ownership, how they conduct their business, being able to outsource things like accounting and legal things to other people. And they make a lot of work and have a lot of opportunities.
So with the artists that participate, take me through sort of a session, what how it's divided. If you can.
We have all of our sessions, they except for the first and the last one, cover specific topics from grant writing to technology to legal issues, marketing, writing about your work. But we always have a large group discussion. A lot of the program is based on peer facilitated learning among peers because all of these topics are very big and broad, and depending on your discipline and your specific experience with them, people have a lot of input and really enrich the learning process. And then we have a subject matter expert who comes in from the outside, like Dawn Simon.
Dawn Simon!
who helps us with all things legal and covers copyright and contracts, business formation, things like that. And then we have small groups. So each peer facilitator has five artists in their small group, and that's where the rubber hits the pavement. That's where people work through on a weekly basis and share their artist statements, look at each other's website, critique CVs, and give feedback and support. And those are the groups that will continue meeting. There's still a group from 2009, one of Jose Valdez's group that continues to meet on a every couple of months. So that's basically how. So each session is 3 hours long, and we do 8 weeks. And the final week, we do a final Pachacucha style presentation, a 5-minute presentation, which everybody agonizes over and is terrified of. And yet our research shows it's the most important thing people take away from it is being forced to get up in front of a room full of people and deliver a really crisp, succinct narrative about their work and why they do it.
And for me, that was one of my favorite parts to this to Artist Inc. Contact information?
Yes. So www.artistinckc.com. Right on the homepage, you'll see a link to the application. You can go there to learn more about the program. And then also pushingtheflywheel.com, which relates to super secret information given out during Artist Inc. It's a weekly digest we put out with opportunities for artists here in Kansas City and throughout the region. And I encourage everybody to sign up for our email. And every week you get a digest of postings we put on there, which is lots of great information.
Yeah, for instance, one is Escape to Create 2017, where the July 5th deadline is coming up. It gives you a lot of different sort of information, opportunities, and a little bit of what's happening here locally.
Right.
And that. So the flywheel's very informative.
And plus then we tout our local artist success. So we had a whole slew of people get recent Art in the Loop grants, as well as Rocket grants and Arts Inspiration grants.
Yeah.
So we're really proud, including some of our facilitators, as well as recent and participants from years ago.
Very good. Artist Inc. applications are open for the session September 12th through November 7th, and those take place in the evening at 6:30 from 6:30 to 9:30 at 4747 Troost Avenue.
Actually, we have because of
you
our
change the time.
No, same time, but because of our partnership with Mid America Arts Alliance, we now meet at the Mid America space at 2018 Baltimore in the heart of the Crossroads, which we really like.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful space, and it puts us right down where sort of the nexus of all the local art activity is.
Yeah, so those applications are due Monday, June 27th at 5 p.m. ArtistInkKC.com is the website. And I want to thank you, Lisa Cordes, for all the great work that you're doing in the community with Artist Inc. Because, I've heard from so many people how it's really changed their life. Casey Roush, for one.
Yes.
You know,
Casey's story is great, and, yeah. and Casey's one of a not uncommon artist that we've had that had, we say, a career interruption,
right,
and a pause on various reasons. Especially a lot of female artists have that because of raising families, and it's a really, really great way to reconnect with the community, and also people that are just relocating to Kansas City. It's a we have had several of those in the past two sessions. It's a great way to learn about the community, really, really quickly. And I have to tell you, apply now if you want to do this, because we won't offer another local one for another year. After next fall. So
will you be putting together this team for the Arkansas?
Yeah, we actually bring those artists, facilitators to Kansas City and train them in the fall. So, yeah, we're so busy outside of the city that we can only do one locally here now.
Beautiful. On a side note, Lisa Cordes, congratulations to your son.
Oh.
You can just briefly tell us.
Well, my son graduated with an MFA in acting from University of Nevada at Las Vegas, and then took a 1,000-mile recumbent trike ride home through the Rockies, and then we fetched him from Pueblo, Colorado, and he just returned home.
You know, I would want proof. I'd say, really, show me, you know, you've been on the road, because I think he's, like, packed his bike in a Greyhound or something and then rode those miles on
bus? No, he actually sold his bike via Craigslist. Yeah. Wow. The internet's an amazing thing. At the bus station right before he got on the bus the other night. He's very, very resourceful, but, you know, one of the indicators that it was time to come home was he did get his email with his first student loan payment
due. Wow,
good. And that's another thing that we really are looking at in Artist Inc., because a lot of artists get out of school, especially master's programs, with a very heavy debt load, and we're looking at providing some more resources around that. But it is another reason why artists need to get focused on their career and their revenue streams, because debt's no fun, but it's also nothing you can run away from. Eventually, those emails and phone calls will catch up with you.
She's not here. Well, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. Hope you're enjoying the Elvis Crespo. Got your day started, didn't he? Listen, thank you so much for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio, making us a priority this afternoon on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Next up, I have a couple of gentlemen in here in studio. Since 2005, AltCap, their mission has been to be a catalyst for investment in Kansas City, Missouri's economically distressed communities through innovative financial products targeted through economic development programming and the development of strategic partnerships that promote economic growth and empowerment. Got Ruben Alonzo III, the president of AltCap, who is responsible for the overall administration, management, and ongoing development of the organization and its targeted lending activity, as well as its small business and economic development programming. He has led the organization since 2007, overseeing its certification as community development entity and then as a community development financial institution. Also with him is Davin Gordon, Program Coordinator, Economic Development. He's responsible for coordinating all the programs that support AltCap's alternative non-traditional financing products, as well as administering AltCap's 16-week workshop, How to Build a Growing Profitable Business. Welcome, my friends.
Thank you for having us. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, you know, AltCap is been around since 2005, right?
Correct.
How does it benefit folks in the community?
Yeah, I think, you know, based on our mission, we are a very unique organization. Like you said, we're a community development financial institution, or CDFI for short. So we specifically focus on providing financing to communities or businesses that are underserved by traditional financial institutions or banks.
Mm-hmm.
We're very mission-oriented. We're actually a 501c4. So through our mission, we support businesses through microlending, through other types of financing. So specifically, today we're going to talk about the AltCap program.
Was that a misprint? I put AltCap.
Yeah, so our program, AltCap, is a kind of a twist on our name as an organization. AltCap is one of our newest loan funds to support the arts community here in Kansas City.
And Davin Gordon, Program Coordinator, Economic Development. I've known Davin since he was shorter than me. but now you're working with ARTCAP. And your role?
Yes, so my role is to basically oversee the microloan fund for artists. We've basically been trying to work with a lot of our resource partners, such as Artist Inc.,
right.
Chris Dahlquist. We've also been working with Charlotte Street, many of the other organizations that are helping to facilitate a lot of the business development for mm-hmm. artists to try to provide these resources to clients that come see us for potential financing opportunities.
So what is the first step in this process? What do people need to do when they come to talk with you?
Yeah. So we have an application process to really get to understand what the needs are of that artist or artisan or business in the creative mm-hmm. industries. Our first priority is really to support the arts community, and mm-hmm. the way we feel we can do that is providing financing and really kind of reorienting artists or artisans to understand that they have other funding options, not mm-hmm. just relying on grants, but you can actually use a loan to finance your passion or your business in the creative industry. So I think the first step is really getting to know that business or that artist, what they want to do, what they want to accomplish, and mm-hmm. and through Davin, kind of getting them in the right place or position to actually be able to get a loan from us.
Mm-hmm. So now, in that with the program, do you also sort of work with them with a business statement or a mission or sort of?
Yes, yeah, so we kind of see where they're at.
Yeah.
How far they are in their business development
mm-hmm.
and business plan. And if we see that they need some technical assistance, then we try to provide them someone that will hold their hand through that process,
mm-hmm.
Give them some advice, and help put together this business plan.
Yeah, I think that's our approach to lending. Like, we don't want to be mm-hmm. just kind of this transactional,
yeah.
Type of organization or entity. We really, the way we approach lending is to provide a lot of business development, technical mm-hmm. assistance resources around that lending. And, we do it because we want to make sure that they're, these businesses are going to succeed. But we also do it for kind of our own self-interest, and that is to make sure that they're going to be strong lender, mm-hmm. Borrowers, and we'll be mm-hmm. able to pay back those loans. So providing that technical assistance can help with that.
If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Ruben Alonzo III, president of ARTCAP.
ALTCAP.
Yeah,
ARTCAP is the microloan fund for artists.
Okay, and then I also have Davin Gordon, the program coordinator, economic development, here talking to me live about ALTCAP and ARTCAP. So, can you give us an example of a business that maybe you've worked with and they've kind of gone through all these steps, and where are they now?
Yeah, so I know we've worked with La Cucaracha Press, Nicholas. I know he wanted to purchase some new equipment. I believe it was just, I don't know what the machine was exactly, but he needed couple thousand dollars to purchase this equipment. He came to us. We saw that it was, he had a solid business plan. Everything was going well. He just needed this equipment to further his company and his artistry. So we went on ahead and we went through the whole process. Everything looked good, and
mm-hmm.
Now he's already purchased the equipment, and
we've just launched the ARTCAP microloan program. So we've had two loans that we've made, and the second loan was to another business called Plastercraft. You wouldn't necessarily think of them as artists, but the work that they do is very artistic. So they provide a lot of services to developers who are rehabbing historic buildings. So they
mm-hmm.
do a lot of the renewal of crown molding around
wow.
The interiors of the building, and really beautiful craftsmen do some really beautiful work in these buildings.
And it takes a lot of money to do that,
mm-hmm.
A lot of restoration. I was going to ask you, if people are interested in finding out more information, the website?
Yeah, our website is www.alt-cap.com. alt-cap.org, so alt-cap.org. You can go to our website and find information about the ARTCAP program, mm-hmm. as well as all of our other kind of alternative financing programs.
Now, do you expect people to give you a call or make an appointment to come and meet with you?
Yeah. So go on our website. Davin's contact information is all on there, so they can reach out to Davin, set up a time to meet with Davin, and he'll walk any artist or artisan interested in financing, walk them through mm-hmm. the process.
And I've got a number, 816-216-1851.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. And now you're located at the Robert J. Mohart Multipurpose Building at 3200 Wayne Avenue, right?
Correct. Yeah, we've been there for about a year. We used to be down in the 18th and Vine uh-huh. District, but they tore down the building that we were in, so we've been in the Mohart Center for about a year.
Right. Well, so this has been since 2005. Do you find that it's really growing as many more people have these great ideas of businesses or need assistance with, purchasing equipment and that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Are you seeing a huge...
Yeah, I think we're definitely filling a really big gap in Kansas City. Kansas City doesn't have a lot of community development financial institutions compared to mm-hmm. its kind of peer cities. So, we're providing financing that, to businesses that traditional banks are either not interested in financing or overlooking. So mm-hmm. That's what we do as a CDFI.
Mm-hmm. Do you have your own business? I mean, aside from doing the AltCap and all that, do you have a little business that you do that?
Yeah, I throughout my life I've been somewhat of entrepreneur, but running AltCap is kind of like running a business. We're like social entrepreneurs in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Again, AltCap and ARTCAP microloan, alt-cap.org for more information, and 216-816-216-1851. Did I leave anything out?
I just wanted to mention some of the eligible uses, because I know some people are wondering what can they use this loan fund for. It could be for materials, equipment, production costs, mm-hmm. working capital, marketing materials, which would include web development, and any other costs that support their business plan.
Yeah. And they can just contact you
website.
So whether you're a painter or a musician mm-hmm. or a graphic designer, we really have we broadly define what an artist is or artisan is, but mm-hmm. As long as you're supporting the arts community here in Kansas City, we want to be your partner.
Very good. And again, you work with Arts Inc. and other arts organizations. Those partnerships just make it a bigger, stronger community of working artists.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the big thing of why we created this fund is, we believe that the arts community is important to Kansas City. They increase the quality of life in Kansas City, but also mm-hmm. I think increase the economic vitality of Kansas City. So yeah, we partner with a number of organizations to really provide a full service to artists who are interested in our loan fund.
And I see I graduated from the Art Institute, and I've seen so many areas of the arts community just really flourish and grow where there was none, Artists Inc. and different other organizations, and this is one of them that I think is a valuable tool for people that need this resource.
The description of Arts Inc. and what they do is great. They're giving them, artists great training, but, we want to be that financial resource for the artist, again, to go ahead and finance their passion or their arts-related business.
Is there anything that you won't finance? Devin's like, what? What is that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that you have the criteria, as you said, the equipment and that sort of thing, but are there some things that maybe just doesn't fit what we would
We approach lending it very flexibly. We don't want to rule anything out. That's why, we take a lot of time to meet with our borrowers and understand what they want to do, what they want to accomplish. And, again, we're trying to be a lender that, a bank can't be to a specific type of business or artist or, whatever.
I do want to go back to one thing, how to build a growing profitable
yes.
business.
Yeah.
And that's a 16-week workshop?
Yeah, so it's a workshop in business opportunities, WEBO for short. This will be starting up in the fall. We are looking for applicants to go ahead and sign up. They can visit our website to find out more information. And my contact information is on the website. And so, yeah, I mean, we focus on the program focuses on finance and the marketing aspect of becoming a more profitable business. We bring in business owners throughout the city to provide these. They basically lead the topics for each week of discussion, and we also bring in guest speakers that are other resource partners to entrepreneurs and small businesses to help grow out their business.
So it's a question and answer back and forth.
It's peer-to-peer learning.
Yeah, it's a really unique format, very much peer-to-peer learning. I mean, you're not kind of reading out of a textbook or being, you know, talked at about, you know, business theory. It's, you know, we, like Devin said, we bring in successful business leaders from all over the city to talk to our cohort, talk about, you know, marketing, purchasing, sales, accounting, finance. So it's kind of like a mini MBA at the end of the 16 weeks.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in today. I know you've got to run off to a meeting at one, but Ruben Alonzo III and Davin Gordon, thank you so much for coming in for AltCap and ArtCap Microloan.
Thanks so much for having
us. Thank you.
We'll be right back with ArtSpeak after this.
Gosh, I blanked on Weba.
And we're back. This is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host. And thank you for making us a part of your day. We're here every Wednesday from noon to 1. And, so thank you for listening. And you can also hear us online at www.kkfi.org because we stream live every week. Also, you can find a podcast of this program at the same website and on iTunes. Next up, we have Don Simon, who is president of Simon Business Consulting, Inc., which is the firm concentrating in media and art-based entrepreneurship. And he also teaches law, business, and communications courses at local area colleges and universities. He lectures and writes extensively on legal and business matters and has appeared in KC Business Magazine, Billboard, and Screen. Now, Don serves on the board of directors of the Kansas City Volunteer Lawyers and Accountants for the Arts and the Midwest Music Foundation. He's also the co-owner and general counsel for Mud Stomp Records, LLC, a record label featuring roots in Americana music. And 2013, we're so proud of you here. Don was voted one of the top three best attorneys in Kansas City by Readers of the Pitch and was given an Entrepreneurial All-Star Award the previous year by the Kauffman Foundation. Welcome, my friend Don Simon.
Gosh, that intro was so long, the show's over.
Well, you know what? I have a second page. I just...
that was the edited down version. I'm sure the listeners appreciate it. And I'm sure they appreciate putting the lawyer on last. That's less tune-out factor.
Sorry. That's okay. You know, I have a heart. I have a big heart for lawyers because I married one. And you guys get a lot of slack, don't you?
Some of it is deserved, I will say.
Well, thanks
for having me on again.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I want to tell our listeners that right now you're going through a master's thesis around surrounding copyright issues.
Yeah,
that is related
to
orphan works ready for publication.
Yeah, thanks for plugging that. I'm doing a research project involving an area of copyright law that I think is pretty frustrating for a lot of artists, at least the local ones that I talk about, and it's called orphaned works. And what that means, without getting too far into copyright law, it's essentially a work that may or may not still be under copyright protection. We don't know who the owners are. We may know who they are, but we can't locate them. And so it creates this kind of class of works that is growing exponentially by the year, every year. We don't know who the owners are. And so an artist is faced with the idea of, well, I could use this work, And there's a risk that the real copyright owner could come out of the woodwork and ask for money or sue for infringement or whatever. Or I could just not use the work. And I'll give you an example that kind of highlights this. I know a lot of artists that go to estate sales, go to flea markets, they buy old photographs, postcards, and kind of incorporate them into their work. Well, theoretically, they would need to get a license to use those photographs or those that from the artist or from the photographer. And some of the stuff is really old. And photography especially doesn't always have who the photographer was or who the owner of that photograph is. So how would you even begin to find who the owner is? Musicians, too, they may go to, I don't know, some pawn shop and find some old recordings and they want to re-record something. Well, they would need to get the permission of the songwriter or the publishing company. And it may say on the album, but that company's gone out of business, they've been merged, who knows? And so it creates this class of works known as orphan works. And so what I'm doing is conducting some surveys of local and really international artists, as many as I can get, to see what they do if they're confronted in that situation. Do they go ahead with the work? Would they just disregard it and try to go another direction? So I'm conducting the survey for my master's program.
I find that really fascinating because, you know, I know that there are a lot of artists that will take a photograph or that use it in collage, maybe even manipulate it a little bit. But there is that risk.
And the risk is now potentially a full copyright infringement lawsuit, which could be thousands of dollars, attorney's fees, court costs. And so there are some initiatives at the Copyright Office to say, well, if an artist does a certain amount of due diligence and they track that, then maybe they won't get sued for infringement, but they'll have to work out some type of license should the true owner come forward. But that's just an initiative of the Copyright Office. It's not law right now. So there's still the risk that's out there. And what I think is what is particularly sad in that situation is an artist not creating because of that potential risk.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to ask you, too, the risk is even greater because once that finished work has that, say, photograph or something, and then it's put up on the artist's website and it's out there, there's probably more of a risk of that, you know, original owner of that photograph say, oh, well, look, I mean,
And there's also comes into play, too, confusion about what is considered to be a fair use of someone else's work, you know, because the common response is, well, I'm not making any money with it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really only one factor in the fair use estimate or fair use analysis. So it's murky at best.
Well, and with copyright, isn't it sort of murky at best for artists, too? Because, you know, some people say, well, I just have the little, you know, copyright, the C that's encircled, and I'm good. You know, no one can use this image or that. Is that true?
Well, yeah, it is. It is true that copyright protection begins at the moment of creation. You don't have to register that work with the Copyright Office in order to get protection, but you're not even required to put the circle C on your work. And so that's where we get into an issue with orphan works is we don't know who the owners are. And from a legal perspective, you know, you may not have to put that on there, but from a good business perspective, it just makes sense to put your own name on your own work, right, so that people can find you and license it and whatever. But the way copyright protection works is that it starts with the moment of creation and then continues on 70 years after the original artist has died. And so in that 70 years, we may or may not know who the owners are. Maybe it was an artist that wasn't a business. It was just a single artist, and so now their heirs own the work. Their heirs may not know they own the work. If it was registered, maybe that new chain of ownership has not been updated with the Copyright Office. So that's where this trail of research can end sometimes and be problematic for a lot of artists who want to incorporate the works of others into their own.
You know, I think you provide a very valuable service to artists that, you know, maybe are not well versed in, you know, what the rights are and what, you know, what sort of conditions and that, especially when it comes to like a gallery signing off on a contract and that sort of thing. You're with the Kansas City Volunteer Lawyers and Accountants for the Arts?
Correct, yeah. I serve on their board of directors and have been for about 3 years, and it's a great organization that holds presentations for artists on contract issues, licensing, how to form a nonprofit. I do a lot of the copyright presentations, myself and a few other attorneys. And one of the problems is not a lot of people actually come to these presentations. And there's a lot of artists out there. Yeah. And so it is great when these artists come to it, because even if they don't walk out of there with little miniature law degrees, at least they know enough to say, all right, maybe this thing that I'm encountering, maybe there's an issue and I should go speak to someone about it.
You know, also with that, I know that I have attended a few of the sessions about boards and board of directors and sort of the protocol and guidelines for running a board and officers and that sort of thing, and that's been very helpful.
Oh yeah, yeah, certainly. If you're gonna start a nonprofit, which, you know, there's so much that goes into it. It sounds like a great idea initially. Hey, you know, I'll start this thing. I'll get grants. I'll get donations and stuff. But there's so much process that needs to go into it, and one of those is creating a good board that will help you. Because with a nonprofit, if you're an artist and you start a nonprofit, you really don't own that nonprofit. Mm-hmm. The board of directors really kind of owns it, and so because of that, you want to select a really good board. So I've been privileged enough to serve on KKFI's board for a time, Kansas City Volunteer Lawyers and Accountants for the Arts, MMF, Midwest Music Foundation, and now Cinema KC, and those are some really great organizations.
Yeah. Those are some really good organizations. We thank you for your service there. Let's talk about Mud Stomp.
Oh, okay.
Right. I'm shifting gears because also another. He's like, what? You are a part of Mud Stomp Records, and that's got some really talented folks in your circle.
Yeah. You know, and some of our listeners may or may not know this, that there's a real incredible folk and roots music scene here in Kansas City, and that's evidenced by the Folk Alliance International organization moving their headquarters from Nashville to Kansas City. I think that shows that they really see that there's something going on here. But I have this small roots and Americana label called Mud Stomp, and you talked about Casey Roush just a moment ago. She's one of the artists on the label. I also have interests in a couple other labels, Little Class Records, which was mentioned earlier.
So yeah, I thought I had that written down. I'm looking at all my papers.
That just came about last week.
So. Yeah.
But it's a really great supportive music scene here, and the roots music around here is just it's really just exploding, and there's lots of places to go see roots music. Of course, there's the long-standing Monday night Rule Grit Happy Hour over at the Brick, and there's the Here's to the Roots show every Sunday over at the Dubliner. There's just so many places to go find this great music, and when I had the opportunity to jump on board with these guys with Mud Stomp, I relocated the label up here and focused on Kansas City musicians, and so now we just announced our sixth musician, who just happens to not be from Kansas City, but is still, he comes up here quite a bit and he's part of that scene. But if I was able to and could support them, I would sign a dozen more artists and just get their music out there.
Well, I don't mean to catch you off guard, but I have seen photographs of you performing.
Oh, my.
And this was something I did not know about, John Simon. You're keeping things from me.
Well, that's something relatively new, I guess. Before I went to law school many years ago, I lived in Joplin, and this was when I still had hair, so it's going back a little ways.
Yeah.
I played in bands and whatnot, and sort of after I moved to law school and fatherhood virtually at the same time, kind of put that stuff down and just concentrated on what people do when they get out of their 20s and stuff. And then just recently started playing with some folks, and it's been really great. And that old feeling of being on stage has come back. Now, maybe I don't have the same amount of chops that I had when I was, 20-something, but it's a lot of fun.
You know, it comes from here, so that's the best part.
Yeah.
I'm touching my heart. You know, you are really a renaissance man, Don Simon.
Oh.
You know, lawyer, board member, volunteer, lawyers.
I see you say that, and I feel like, gosh, I have so many things that I'm interested in. I can't find one or two things to be really, really good at, just sort of average at a lot of things.
Mediocre?
Yeah.
I know that.
Some people say, well, maybe you need some medication for that, Don.
You know, for our listeners, I'm talking to Don Simon, who is an attorney with the Kansas City, a board member of the Kansas City Volunteer Lawyers and Accountants for the Arts, Mud Stomp Records, and musician.
Yeah. I guess all of those things. Yeah. Wow. That sounds like a lot.
And if you're interested to find out more information about the volunteer attorney for the arts organization, then the website is kcvlaa.org.
Yeah, and you can find out about our upcoming presentations that we have.
What do you have upcoming?
Every quarter we have what's called Ask the Experts, and it's sort of speed dating with an attorney. So you get, you make an appointment, you come and see this attorney for 30 minutes, and you're able to talk about probably just in that 30 minutes only about one issue that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't get too in-depth, but it is an opportunity to kind of bounce something off of somebody else.
Yeah.
Say, I got this thing that might be developing,
mm-hmm.
And it's a way of, and it's for the price of it, it's you wouldn't be able to do that if you were to go find an attorney somewhere in the Yellow Pages and be able to have that kind of initial consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from there, it depends on how they work it out amongst themselves, but it is a really great opportunity to at least bounce something off and say, hey, I have maybe this issue. And that's for me, for the things that I do with the presentations and the teaching and stuff, that's what I want people to at least have an idea of, hey, maybe there's something here I should go talk to somebody about it. Because it's always with legal issues and with lots of other things, but especially with legal issues, it's always better to be proactive than reactive.
Absolutely. And so when is that coming up?
I believe it was last weekend, but we have them quarterly. So if you go to the website, it has a calendar of events there. But we periodically will have copyright presentations, ones on contracts, ones on nonprofit boards, like you said. So it's... It's a really great organization, it was one of the first ones that I joined up with when I moved here back in 2009. So glad to be with it. And Artist Inc. too. I'm the subject matter expert for the legal stuff.
Beautiful.
No surprise there. It's a great organization too. So I will put a plug in for that too. Please apply for that, and then you'll see me, I believe, week 5 for the legal component.
And also the master thesis that you're working on, the copyright issues related to orphan works ready for publication. You're working on a survey. Would you want people to respond to your survey?
Yeah, that'd be great. I could give my email address and I could send them a link. It's just a Survey Monkey. It's about 5 minutes worth of work. It just asks a couple questions and then a small little narrative. But it's 5, maybe 10 minutes worth of time. But I can just give you my just email address. You can just go DonaldSimon@yahoo.com is probably. I have a million email addresses, but that's probably the shortest one.
Look, I have 3 pages of email addresses.
So that's just Donald Simon, all one word, @yahoo.com, and I'd be happy to send you the link, and you could be part of this, and it'll be part of this master's thesis publication, but also I'd like to submit the results to the Copyright Office during their public inquiry period where they accept information from the public about what they should do about this type of thing. And so it'll be a relatively small survey in comparison to some of these national organizations, but at least it'll say, hey, for our purposes here in the Midwest, here's what artists are, how they're dealing with this issue, what they're thinking about it, and how are they handling it when they're confronted with this problem. So DonaldSimon@yahoo.com.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting topic to cover, the copyright issue.
I think so. I feel like sometimes when I talk about it, I should be wearing glasses that are taped in the middle, but... It's really interesting to me, and I love trying to kind of pass that information on and say, well, it may seem arduous when you look at all of this issues of copyright, but here's my take on it, and here's a few things that you should think about, and I'm really big on educating artists and hoping that they will educate themselves on these issues. It's not some big, I don't feel like a magician, a copyright magician that won't reveal his secrets. It's like, no, here's the information. Please share it and let's talk about it and get rid of some of the misconceptions. Let's talk about some things and get it all out there.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be something that controls the art. It should just be a guide like anything else.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, sure. My friend.
See, I can just keep on talking. See, well, I'm getting the radio the hook pulling me off the stage.
Well, you know what? Here's the problem. I always go up like to the last minute.
Yeah.
And poor Jeff is in here struggling, like trying to get his laptop plugged in, get ready for his show. But since Jeff is not here, Jeff would be up next. We have Jazz in the Afternoon, but Roger, the Jazz Geek, is filling in for Jeff Harshberger today. But, it'd be good. I love Roger.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thank you. Hey, and you'll be back, yes?
Of course. Just don't wait 3 years or however long it's been since the last time I was on here.
I love you, Don Simon.
I love you too, Maria.
And I also want to thank Lisa Cordes, Don Simon, Ruben Alonzo III, Davin Gordon. And next week, June 29th, we'll be talking to folks from The Bunker, Casey Hanna, Travis Pratt, also arts activist Stephen Curtis. And then we'll also talk with Brian Hearn, Sarah Chavez, and Miguel Morales. Stay tuned next for Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshberger. Before I close out, I want to say thank you, Estrella Gonzalez, for coming in and shadowing University of Texas.
Yes, thank you for having me here.
You bet. This is community radio, so it's a lot different from other radio stations, because we can pretty much do what we want, and really our mission is to serve the community and, you know, Kansas City and surrounding communities. But you're going to come back on air maybe before you leave town, or what?
Hopefully, or just next time I'm back in town.
Yeah. And what are you studying at university?
I'm going to be majoring in radio and television this fall at the University of North Texas.
Beautiful. Well, much luck to you, and stay cool out there. And everyone else, stay cool today. Make sure you bring your pets in. Gosh, it's hot. Don't leave them in the car. Make sure they have cool water to drink. Listen, I want to thank you all so much again for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio. Like us on Facebook. Download our podcast of each episode through our website, www.kkfi.org, or iTunes. Thank you so much for tuning in. And honey, I'm coming home.